We'd like to welcome each and every individual to Mastermind Seminars. Hi, my name is Mark Boersma, President of Synergy Solutions, and we're in for a very exciting session today. If you do have any questions, feel free to connect with the individual who invited you to participate in today's session, or you can call toll-free 888-230-2300. That's 888-230-2300. Or if you're calling in outside the U.S., you can call the U.S.-based number at 630-393-9909. That's 630-393-9909. Kevin, what would we like to cover today?
Yeah, I'd like to get an idea of what the brand new session on the 21st is going to look like.
Okay. So, did you want to start off on that, or you want some input, or what?
No, from what I have right now, my understanding is we're going to be in the conference room. It's going to be a smaller number of people, maybe by invitation only, because we only have a few, you know, we only have a limited number of seats. And at that point, my question is, once we have the people in there, we're going to do the same format for our next topic, or are we going to do a different format for that special session?
Are you talking for the month of June?
This month on the 21st.
Yeah, no, this month we have the full session. It's the month of June that we have this month.
Okay. Well, I'm looking ahead then. That's fine. We can table that for another time. We can take this time and use it for something more immediate.
Okay. Karen, what would you like to accomplish?
I would just like to, you know, talk about who's going to do this segment and, you know, just that we have the streaming in place for it. And I think I emailed a couple other things, and now I can't remember what they were. But those, you know, a couple things, I guess.
Okay, who else is, again, I've lost all my internet.
Alan Stein. Alan Stein,
yeah.
Welcome to the call.
Yeah, hi, everyone.
Good morning, Alan.
Hi.
Are you back, Alan, or still in Europe?
No, came back last night.
Okay, wow, did you have a good trip?
Yeah, a great time.
Excellent. And so, again, I'm out of internet and phone, and so I'm calling from the cell phone, so don't have the webinar up and don't have access to knowing who's on and all the other things that come with technology, so kind of flying a little bit blind here. Alan, what would you like to accomplish today?
You know, I just want to kind of reconnect and see where everybody's at and what's going on.
Okay, cool. Does anybody else have anything else you'd like to cover today?
No, I'm good. I'd like to get the 21st nailed down and who's doing what.
Okay. I think that's your area, so you can take the lead on that.
Absolutely. So this month's topic, of course, if anybody does have internet access, you can actually go to thevisionproject.net, and you go under resources and hit live events, and you'll be able to see our whole schedule for the year. And we're in year two, and we've already covered the value of installing systems, and the second thing we covered was generating more and better leads. So for this month, we're going to be talking about converting more prospects to clients, So the first segment we have is speed networking, and let's figure out the best way to do that. Karen, do you have any ideas about that?
As far as who will be facilitating it, do we know if Ed is going to be available or in town?
He will be in town. I will ask him to do it.
Okay.
I love the way that you guys did it last time, though, with the pieces of the puzzle. I think we need to reintegrate that in and keep that theme rolling.
Okay.
And then the wins and biggest challenges, I'm going to invite Teresa to do that for us, unless you'd be able to do that, Karen.
I'm good either way. You know, if we want to you know, have Teresa doing a piece, I'm good with that. The other thing I just wanted to mention about the puzzle is I have created a PDF that is going to be made into a puzzle that has the logos and all the different pieces from the Vision Project to the Personality Masteries to the 530 Grid to the different shapes for the personalities to partner profitable partnerships. It's a whole, and it's going to be made into a puzzle, a 252-piece puzzle that's 11 by 17 that we'll have for the 21st.
Wow. That's pretty cool.
So we can brainstorm a little bit how we want to integrate that. You know, if we want people to, you know, the group that's there to work on assembling the puzzle and having a little bit of fun with that as kind of a project of putting the pieces together in a really more tangible and teamwork kind of way. Or if we, you know, Mark had mentioned maybe they take a piece of the puzzle, but they have to bring it back next month and say what piece, you know, for their business that they put in place or implemented or something. So there's, you know, there's obviously a lot of different ways that we can use that, but this will be a puzzle that we will, you know, kind of want to keep. You know, the one we had last month, people took, it was 1,000 pieces. They took a piece. They weren't required to bring it back. It was just them having something tangible with the idea that you're going to get a piece this during this morning seminar workshop that will help to put the pieces of your business to the, you know, pieces of your business together. So any feedback from anybody on different
ideas? Here's a question. Alan, what would you like to accomplish? You and Nancy are traveling out this month. What's your, you accomplished part of your goal last month. You had to kind of re-engineer it, do it a different way. What are you hoping to accomplish in traveling out this month?
Well, one goal is to introduce Nancy, obviously, to something that's become important to me. I think, yeah, for the moment, that's it.
Okay.
Would you be willing to take one of the segments, the DNA of people, DNA of business, or DNA of life?
Probably not.
I wonder if Alan ought to go ahead and do dimensional living in the, take a second run at that and do dimensional living in the speed networking slot. It's almost like in the DNA for life, like in the, like it's getting people to recognize they're not that smart and they know very little. It's like a boot camp. And so how do we get people to get to that point? And how do we help them get there faster? Alan, your thoughts?
That's the $64,000 question, isn't it?
It really is, because as soon as people recognize they know, if they had to look at, you know, two extremes, they know nothing or they know everything, they would be very, very close to knowing nothing based on the whole universe of knowledge. And so it's like, how do we go ahead and get people to where they recognize instantaneously, you know nothing, just everything that you think you know, just check it at the door. Just check it at the door, because you know what? You don't know anything. I mean, and I think dimensional living, the next dimension principle, is the closest, closest thing to that, And I wonder, who else has joined us?
Yes, it's Edward. Edward Kirch.
How are you doing today?
Edward.
How's everybody doing?
It's good.
Good, about you,
always,
buddy?
Good.
It's always a joy and a pleasure when you grace us with your presence. I love how you just surprise us every once in a while and are on. And I always ask you the same question. What motivated, inspired you to be on today?
We were going to go clean up a creek, so we're on the way. So I'm actually up this early.
Ah, gotcha. All right. So we got the advantage of a creek today. We're talking about how to help people recognize that they know very little, next to nothing. How do you bring a humility to a group of people where they're like, you know, and I think it's through dimensional living. I wonder if it's through asking, like giving people almost a quiz of 10 questions, and it's like they're almost all wrong. Like you just know, it's like every one of the 10 is counterintuitive. And so, does anybody, well, Karen and Kevin, any, like, did you guys see what I just did about, you know, 6 minutes ago?
Yeah, you interrupted and you moved from the analytics trying to take over the call to get writing back to the view from 30,000 feet and Alan Stein and asking him the question on dimensional living, which is more important than, you know, exactly who's doing what.
I mean, both are equally important, but typically the high-level thinkers, the 30,000-foot CEOs, the big, you know, they're like, I mean, these things are important, otherwise you don't have a good event, but am I really needed for these details?
Yeah.
And so you'll lose the high-end people. And so,
right.
So how did I go ahead and take control?
You asked a question, and you just
right.
kept asking it, and mm-hmm, it was great.
Yeah, and so one of the things that we're working on is how to help people see things at 30,000 feet. And it came up again yesterday where somebody asked, you know, Mark, I'm tired of you saying. Kind of tired of you saying, you know, I mean, you keep asking 30,000 feet, and it's like, when am I going to stop asking that? It's like when you start seeing 30,000 feet. And so I know that I cannot be replaced, and I want to be replaced. I need to be replaced. It has to happen. To achieve my life vision, I have to be able to be replaced. And until other people can start seeing things at 30,000 feet, that's not going to happen. There's always going to be a need for me, and I need to figure out how to eliminate that need. Alan, any thoughts?
Everything you said is true.
And so does anybody like having multiple conversations, like bandwidth, your brain's thinking about multiple things, there's some real important things that, like, there's an important question that Alan needs to be asked. And it's almost like the ability to go from 30,000 feet down to 2 inches almost instantaneously. And a lot of inner quadrant people, chameleon personalities that have some of all, they don't go to the extremes very well. Like, they're kind of hovering, you know, around 1,000 feet all the time. They never get too high, never get too low. They're kind of in the middle. Their greatest strength is flexibility, and their greatest weakness is flexibility. So they don't go to the extremes.
Let me just interrupt for a minute. I'm just in the auditorium for the graduation, so I won't be speaking. I'll keep it on mute as long as I can.
Okay, thanks, Karen.
Thanks.
Yep. And so,
Alan, what do you see the connection is between the dimensional thinking, dimensional living, and connecting people to seeing that. What's the escalator? What's the elevator? What's the ladder that you can, do you see that? And is there something that you can do to help me see that and others at our event see that, how important it is?
I'm thinking about that. I think that for some reason, people see, I think people see things upside down, sort of, and that they think the things that will help them, or the things that they think will help them are will not help them, and the things that they think will not help them are the very things that will help them. But how to get somebody to see that?
That just blew my mind, Alan.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Do you have
an example? Do you have an example of what that is?
I mean, I've got a number.
Yeah. I'll let you talk about it then, Mark.
Okay. So you've got a person that's laying on the floor, okay, and they're dead. Their vital signs, you know, are, you know, flatlined. What do you do?
Well, you take a defibrillator and say clear and hit them and see if that jump starts their heart.
Which, you know, whatever, I don't know. You know, 60,000, 100,000, whatever, thousands of volts of electricity going through somebody, isn't that kind of like electrocuting them? Isn't that doesn't seem right. And
that's
so,
exactly what they need.
But that's exactly what they need. But in another situation, that could kill them, but in that situation, it saves them. So it's very counterintuitive. It's like you and Karen, you know, going to the details, those are important, but not now. It's the right thing, but
okay.
The wrong time.
Gotcha.
Karen has a story of, you know, her four-year-old granddaughter that's just, it's mind-numbing. It's like, are you joking? I mean, how does somebody process that? I've got one of my seven-year-old, when my niece was 7 years old, where she was more advanced and understanding of her thinking than Jim Rohn was. I mean, a seven-year-old outthinking Jim Rohn and being able to articulate it totally clearly. And so why Alan's speaking at the dimensional living, like Alan, I don't know, not leading it, but facilitating that conversation. Why will that be so effective to have Alan facilitate that conversation?
Because he lives it.
No, it's much more than that. I mean,
he sees it.
Karen,
he can help other people.
But think higher in the air.
It's the only thing that's going to help us get, I mean, it's the best thing that's going to help us get to achieving our life vision.
Alan is an elder statesman. He looks like a professor. He sounds like a grandfather. He knows how to pause and laugh and draw people in. People will look at Alan and say, he's really smart. I need to listen to him. And he knows he's not, but he's got tremendous leverage because everybody's kind of, you know, like, huh. And he knows And so when he's humble, everybody else around him is going to say, well, I mean, he seems really smart to me, and he's running this gorgeous company, and he travels all over the world. If anybody should think they're smart, it's Alan. So if Alan thinks he's not so smart, well, then I'm not so smart, too. So what he'll do is he'll influence the whole energy. So the DNA of people is understanding how people are designed to respond. Like Karen, at just the right point, if she brings it up too quick, it won't have as much effectiveness. Or if she brings it up too slow, it won't have the right effectiveness. But if she brings it up at just the right time with her granddaughter, that story, it'll absolutely just punch that thing home. So it's the deep observation of people and why they do what they do and why they think what they think and how we can influence those thoughts tremendously. And so, like, I'm having an out-of-body experience, and I'm looking at myself and saying, okay, Mark, how did you know to insert yourself, and how did you see what you saw, and how do you teach other people to see those same things? Like, Alan, what Alan's going to do is there's a high statistical probability that Alan's going to come to the event. He's going to feel that he's successful, but then he's going to go away, and he and Nancy are going to be, not satisfied. And I know that to probably be true. So they'll feel good about attending. They will say really good things. They will feel good. They will leave, and they'll say, and then it'll kind of dissipate very, very quickly. And I know why. Because I know what questions to ask, and I know how to listen at a very deep level. But I don't know how to transfer that to other people. So,
Mark, I got a question.
Yep.
So I know that will happen also. I'm curious about the why of it.
Well, I'm a little surprised that you know that to be true, too. So now I'm like, okay, that kind of changes my paradigm some. I'm like, I wouldn't have expected Alan to do that. But this is why I think it is. It's because your goal is not a good goal. I mean, it's a weak goal. And so, I mean, when you have a weak goal and you achieve that goal, you feel good. And say, we achieved the goal. And then you're feeling good, so you'll feel good about achieving the goal. But then later, you're not fulfilled by the goal because the goal was an easy goal to achieve. And so then you feel let down, and it's like, oh, I was let down. But you won't know why. It's all happening on the subconscious. So your goal was to introduce Nancy to the people. Pretty much all you have to do is show up and you've achieved your goal. There's no challenge to the goal. It's a very, very easy, simple goal to achieve. So you'll feel good because she shows up. She feels good, you feel good, you both show up. But it's not a very challenging goal. So when you go away, you didn't have to work very hard for that goal, so you're not going to appreciate it very much.
Okay, I'll tell you the second part of my goal. I only told you the first part.
Okay.
Transform my marriage.
Yeah, see, that's really... Now, that one is a big one. And so, yeah.
Mark, is that an example of coming from 2 inches off the ground with the introducing Nancy to like 90,000 feet of transforming my marriage?
No. See, the no. That's perspective. one's not better than a, you know, 10 inch off the ground versus 30,000 feet is a perspective.
Right.
What Alan's doing is he's changing. He's looking at it like from a mathematics perspective. The first goal was 1 + 1. The second goal was, you know, discovering an endpoint of pi.
Right.
I mean,
right.
It's like, really?
Yeah, you're approaching infinity at that point.
Right. It's like, oh, my gracious. But I'll throw my hat into that ring. I mean, you know, I'll throw my hat into that ring big time. So it's like, oh, cool. If Alan's going to be that vulnerable, I'll be that vulnerable. If Alan's going to have that big a goal, I'm going to have that big a goal. If he's going to gain that much benefit, I want to gain that much benefit too. Now the stakes, that second goal just changed everything. I mean, that's something that, okay, how are we going to do that? So, that might be covered more in segment two. We have 4 minutes in segment one. In segment two, there's another piece that I'm going to bring out that, it's like a deception, like a self-deception that people have. And so, I've seen this, I saw it with my children. I still see it with my children, but when they were younger, I saw it a lot, and I saw it a lot with employees. And I don't have a name of a principal, and I don't have it mapped out in my journal yet. But it came up this morning before my internet went out, and I'm like, oh, I know what's going on here. I can see it. So it'll be a pretty interesting segment, too. Kevin and Alan, do you both need to take off?
I can stay for about 15 minutes, about quarter past.
Okay.
That's me.
And Kevin?
Yeah, quarter past is good.
Okay, all right. Edward, is there anything you'd like to accomplish today? I don't know if Edward's still on or not. So, Karen.
I'm on. We're with a bunch of Boy Scouts. But yes, I'm here.
Gotcha.
Listening.
Okay, gotcha. All right, so if you're listening to the rebroadcast of this, Rosanna, are you on?
No, I don't see her here.
Okay. I think it's because I stole her phone because my my internet went out and my phone went out. She's not able. So, all right, so finishing up segment one, you know, finishing up segment one, if you have any questions, feel free to connect with the individual who invited you to participate in today's session, or you can call toll-free 888-230-2300. That's 888-230-2300. Or if you're calling outside the U.S., you can call the U.S.-based number 630-393-9909. That's 630-393-9909. Okay. So I don't know if we'll get it both done in 15 minutes, but with employees, it was always intriguing to me where they would, I'd say, did you get this done this week? And they'd be like, no. And it's like an hour project. And I'd say, okay, well, why not? So let's say that they're working 40 hours in a week. Let's say they're working 40 hours in a week, and there was a project that took 1 hour, and they didn't get that one project done. What will they say on why they didn't get it done?
I didn't have enough time.
They probably wouldn't because of the culture. And
right.
So they wouldn't say it because of the culture. So they wouldn't that
wasn't as big a
priorities. And they it's not a high enough priority. That would be the culture, but they know that what I'm going to say next is, well, let's take a look at your priorities. So they won't say that either. So I'm cutting off their escape routes of deception and delusion. And so I'm cutting
love
off
that.
Their escape routes. And
so they'll
and
say
so,
I'm lazy, stupid, and undisciplined?
No, they're not that mature yet. Only my kids are. And so my kids are mature enough to see that. So my 14-year-old or 16-year-old, hey, guys, why didn't you get this done? Sorry, Dad, sloppy, undisciplined, lazy, stupid. I'm like, thank you for sharing the truth. Now let's help you not be that. So, no, they haven't matured to that discipline level to really call what it is. So they have something that's very it's like intoxicating. It's like when it first happened, I didn't even know it, but then after I saw it happening a lot, I'm like, oh, I get this game. I know what they're doing. It's the brain is so powerful. Go ahead.
They're placating you.
Well, what they do is their brain in an instant will process all 40 hours of work. Their brain will lock in to something that I really wanted them to do. And so there's a, you know, I wanted, for instance, why didn't you get this done? And they will immediately, I don't know how their brains work so fast, they'll say, well, because you asked me to make sales calls. So they'll find the thing that I wanted them to do the most. And then what they'll do is they'll say the reason I didn't get what this other thing wanted done is because I spent time doing this other thing you wanted done. So the reason I didn't get the hour done is because, you know, you wanted me to make 2 hours of sales calls. So I'm making 2 hours of sales calls. So that's why I didn't get the hour of work done. And most of the time the leaders are emasculated. They're, you know, they didn't go ahead and, you know, so they don't know how to respond. So it took me quite a while to figure out how to respond, but now I know how to respond. Anybody want to take a stab at it when that happens?
Well, then why didn't you ask me when I told you to make the sales calls that you already had a plan to do the other thing or to say, well, no, that's not it.
What I do is I just say, really? Really? You want to share that with me? I mean, okay, if you want to go down that path, then right now you have 2 hours of your 40 hours accountable. So tell me what you did in the other 38 hours. So what they do is they go ahead and somehow delude and deceive themselves. The reason I didn't get the hour done is because I was doing 2 hours. What about the other 38 hours of work? You had 40 hours. Okay, fine. There were 2 hours of other things I wanted you to do, but what about the 38 hours? So I'd make them give me an accounting for all 40 hours, and every single thing that they did in that 40 hours was a higher priority than the 1 hour that they missed. Now, granted, the 2 hours that I gave them, yes, that was a higher priority than the 1 hour I gave them, but it's not higher than all the other 38 hours. And so when Alan is transparent, okay, so that's the one. That took us 4 minutes. And so it's very dangerous for people who work with me when they go ahead and say, let's say in management, they're, you know, so let's say that they're being compensated, let's say 60% more for management work, and they go ahead and say, you know, okay, an hour of work, okay, so here's an hour of work, and I say to them, you know, well, okay, you need to make it dollar productive. Okay, make it more dollar productive. And I'm not giving, just focus on making it more dollar productive. And if that person says to me, well, I was making sales calls, maybe I shouldn't have done that. That's a defensive move that is, it's like, what did you do with all your time? the sales calls need to be done, yes, but that doesn't mean that you have to do them during management time. That's your other time. I mean, and it's like, so they, people spend so much energy being lazy and trying to avoid work than working hard mentally. And so, okay, so anybody have any questions on that piece?
No, that was great.
Okay, so the second piece in the next 10 minutes will cover this. So when Alan is vulnerable, what does that compel others around him to be? And I don't know what, I mean, transforming marriage, well, he could be at a 9, he could be at a 10, and he wants to take it to a next dimension. So I don't know what that means for him. I mean, I can project into his marriage what's in my own marriage if I want to. But when he's vulnerable, what does that compel other people to do?
Be vulnerable.
Yeah. And when you have somebody that's an accelerator, you know, somebody that accentuates, magnifies, you know, if you give 10, they'll give 20. If you work 20, they'll do 40. If you give, you know, 100, they'll give 200. If they're, you know, 10 on, if you're 10 on vulnerability, they'll be, you know, 50 on vulnerability. And so when you have somebody like that in the group, what happens?
We start getting to jump the next dimension.
Yeah, or somebody gets hurt really bad. So, I don't know. So, because Alan said what he did, I'm like, well, I'll just say what I'm going to say then. Even though it's recorded, and it's like, should I? I don't know if I should or shouldn't. So, you know, last night, my wife says to me at the date, on our date night, she's like, are you okay? And I'm like, yeah. Why? Because I just choose whichever perspective I choose to be in. And she says, you know, how are you feeling? And I'm like, and I'm more of a woman probably than a man. It's like, I have no problem sharing my feelings. Although most people, they don't want to know my feelings. So they're always somewhat guarded just to protect, I think, other people. And so I'm like, well, I'm feeling that I just need to change. Like speakers, it's always intrigued me. Like speakers always get up, professional speakers always get up and share how they failed in the past and they broke through that failure and they need success. And I thought, how cool would it be for somebody, a speaker, to get up and say, I'm failing now. Yeah, I'm failing now, and I haven't figured out the answer. I'm like, now that would be cool. I mean, that'd be cool to see somebody in the midst of the failure and say, wow. I mean, if you've succeeded, if you've been bankrupt, and you're now a billionaire, you can go back and revisit stories of shame and hurt and everything. But if you're in the middle of something terrible and you share it with everybody, man, that is a really strong and vulnerable person. So anyways, so last night my wife goes in and says, she says, well, what's going on in your head, your heart? I'm like, I'm going to need to change. She's like, doesn't that, I mean, do you always have to be the one to change? Doesn't that get old? I mean, don't you get tired of that? My response is, you know, it is whatever it is. And so she asked me this morning, we're talking, and she asked me, and we're talking, and I don't know. She might not be happy with me saying this. I don't know. It's like, I don't know. I guess, whatever. But if Alan is, then I will be too. It's like, okay. And so, so she says, we're talking some, and she's like, where are you at? And like, you know, whatever. And then she says, I feel that I'm losing you. So that's something of a new dimension she's in. She doesn't get defensive. She's working on not getting defensive, not getting angry, not making assumptions, you know. So she's saying, this is what I'm feeling. Is it true or not? Because in the past, she'd have a lot of confidence her feelings were true, and that didn't work so good. So, you know, so now she's coming at it from a humble position of, this is what I'm feeling. Is it true? And I'm like, probably not. So she says, I feel that I'm losing you. Yeah, no, I don't think so. And then as I went ahead and, you know, came down, ate breakfast and stuff, I thought, I got to give her a better answer. So after I get off this call, I'm going to give her a tighter answer. I'm going to give her a better answer. And because it wasn't totally true. I mean, I thought, that's not really totally true, Mark. I mean, that's not true. I'm like, well, what is true? And what is true is, and it's 30 years of marriage, so I mean, 7 kids, 2 grandkids. There's a lot that's been invested into this, you know, into the marriage on her part and mine and other people's part too. And so what I need to do is I need to clarify that with her, and I will. And the clarification is, if I don't change, you will lose me.
Wow.
You know, and so, you know, so what I said to her was true, but it wasn't totally deeply true. I'm just making the assumption I'm going to be able to change enough to be able to, you know, be able to not, you know, survive first and then thrive in the marriage. But if I can't change enough, yeah, she will lose me. Interesting. 3 minutes left. Alan, thoughts?
Yeah, I understand all that.
Yes, you do. Yes, you do. And so with me, I mean, we're talking dimensional living because it's like, because there's this part of me that says, well, gravity is still gravity. I mean, this is who I am built to be. This is what's needed for me to get to my goals. My life vision, that has the highest priority over everything. Even my marriage is why God put me on this planet. And so I think if I go ahead and change, I think I'm going to put my life vision at risk. And I won't do that. Well, I wouldn't do that. Now I might do that. Bill Gothard with the Institute of Basic Life Principles or something like that, he talks about the death of a vision and then the double death of a vision and then triple death of a vision. And it's like, well, if there's anything I would give up my vision for, it would be my marriage and then my kids. And so, but it's, you know, to me, it seems like it's going to strip the very being of who I am out of me. And so what my wife wants and what my kids want is they don't want that because that's the very soul and essence of who I am. So they want, it's like they want that, but then they don't want what goes with that too. And so it's like, really? I mean, it seems like to me, there is no possible way. I mean, I can change personalities. That's easy compared to this. I mean, this is something far beyond it. Kevin, any thoughts, questions?
I'm really honored to be on this call.
Hey, I have a question, quick question, Mark, and then I got to jump off. So,
yeah.
You know, in a higher dimension, don't the two things come together?
See, this is the thing it's going to have to be outside of the atmosphere. I mean, I think it's going to, I'm going to have to, yes, they do, but what if one doesn't want it? What if one doesn't change? What if one doesn't grow?
That's why it's at a much higher dimension, and I can't see it.
Me either.
I am now.
Me either. I mean, I'm just going based on faith, because it seems to me that there is no possible way this would work. It's impossible.
Right.
It's totally impossible.
Okay, I got to jump off. Thank you very much, Mark.
All right.
Thanks, Kevin.
We'll see you. Thanks, Alan. Okay.
Thank you.
Kevin,
I got to run too.
Anything? Okay, we'll see you. Bye.
Bye.
All right. We'll see you. Anybody else have any thoughts, questions?
That's it, Mark. Everybody else has jumped off the call.
Okay. If you're listening to the rebroadcast of this, you have any questions, feel free to connect with the individual who invited you to participate in today's session, or you can call toll-free 888-230-2300. That's 888-230-2300. Or if you're calling outside the U.S., you can call the U.S.-based number at 630-393-9909. That's 630-393-9909. God bless, and have a great day. Bye-bye.